The Mishnah here on Daf Ayin Amid Aleph. In the previous Mishnah, we learned about Tvicha Mechira, which generate a Chiv Tashlumin Dalet Vehei, and now the Mishnah wants to get into more detail about the relationship between the Kefel of a Gneva, of Gneva itself, the act of the theft, and the Dalet Vehei. The Mishnah says, Gonav Al Pishnayim. There were two witnesses that testified about Ploni that he stole, a shor or a seh. V'tavach u'machar al piyam, and that very same kat of Edom testified that Ploni Almoni the Ganov actually went ahead and shechted the animal or sold it. Oh, alternatively al pi shnayim achirim, and that's going to be the focal point of our discussion, this added possibility, this alternative in our Mishnah. There was a second pair of Edom. Notice the first pair of Edom testified on the Gneva, the second on Tvicha Mechira is Mishalim Tashlume Arbav Chamisha. In other words, the Mishnah establishes clearly a Chiddush that you don't need one single Akat of Edom to testify on both the Gneva and the Tvicha Mechira. It could be separated, split into two Kitos of Edom. The Mishnah now continues to discuss the hischayvus that the Ganav has in a case where he was chayv misa, and when he shechted the animal or sold it, since at that very moment he became chayv misa, he's therefore parted from tashlumei dalet vehei, and that's an application of the universal principle called kim lei b'derabinei, anyone who's mischayv benafsha doesn't pay chiyuv mamon. That was engendered through that same Maisa that engendered a capital punishment. Kim Levi the Rabmine, he gets the higher punishment, the more intense punishment. This is derived in the Gemara Ne Lunaris, the third Perek Ksubis, from the Pasuk in Shvos Chav Aleph, Lo Yeh Oson Onosh Yonish. Meaning that if the person who assaulted someone did not kill his victim, then he, the assailant, the Chovel, has to pay damage. It's implying that if Oson, yeah, if there was, in fact, a death, if the victim died, then there's a p'tur tashlum, and that's called kimlei b'v'nirabine. So the Mishnah says the following, Ganav u'machar b'shabbos. And now we're talking about cases where, although, obviously, he violated Shabbos, but he didn't violate Shabbos in the most extreme way that would engender capital punishment. You know, he sold something on Shabbos that might be a violation of perhaps kinyonim on Shabbos, but certainly not one of the lamentes malachos. Now, what would happen if he stole on a weekday and sold it on Shabbos? So in such a case, he wasn't mischayev for the ma'isa gneva misa midin Shabbos, because the Gnev itself, in which case he took it from a Rishus HaYochid of the Nignav and he brought it into Rishus HaRabim, that took place on Chol, on Erev Shabbos. And even though the Mechira took place on Shabbos, but as we said before, the Mechira itself is not a violation of Melech HaShabbos. Now let's say he stole on Shabbos in such a way that that Gneva did not entail a violation of the Yisur Shabbos. Let's say, for example, he went into the Rishus of the Bailim and he made Agbah in order to take it out. And that itself is, of course, a Maisa Gneva, but he did not take it out on Shabbos. And therefore, it's not a Chiyuv Melech HaShabbos. So this is the first case on a long list of cases that the Mishnah establishes that he pays Dalet Vehei because there's no Kim Levi the Rabbinei. The second case on the list is Gonav Umachar la Vodazara. Now, Vodazara in general, worshipping an idol, of course, is a capital crime, but here, only the sale to Avodazara, which is not a Chiyuv Misa, it's not capital, it's only a violation of a lav in the Torah. And therefore, when he sells it for the purpose of Avodazara, he will indeed pay Dalet Vehei for that. If, on the other hand, he was Tovech B'Shabbos, or he was Toveach, he was Tovach Lavodah Zara, those cases would entail a Chiv Misa, and therefore be potter from Dalet Vehemidin Kimle B'Rab Mine. The Mishnah gives now a third case, Gonav V'Tovach B'Yom HaKippurim. And this is a Gevaldige Chiddush. The Mishnah says that although for Tvicha on Yom HaKippurim, and in case of Gneva, we took it out from one Rishus to the other, he violates not only an Issa Doraisa, but an Issa Kares. He desecrates Yom HaKippurim, but nevertheless, there's no Chiv Misa, there's only a Chiv Kares. I mean, Kares is bad enough. But when do we apply Kimlei V'Rabine? That's only with a Chiv Misa, and not with a Chiv Kares. Fine. Now the Mishnah continues, and this is the fourth case. Gonav Mishal Oviv V'Tovach U'Mochar V'Acher Keich Kach Meis Oviv. The son stole, call it a shor, call it a seh, from his father, and then he shechted it, or he sold it. He's now chayv dalet v'heh to his father, but his father died before the payment was made. Now his brothers will inherit their father, and he, the ganav shetovach mochar, is chayv dalet v'heh to his brothers who inherit their father. And again, they'll divvy up equally amongst the various brothers. So there's no chiv tashlumin of dalet v'heh unless the father has banim. Let's say the father has no banim. The only ben he has is this ganav, this son who is a ganav. Then there's no one to pay to. But assuming there are other banim, he pays to the other banim. Later on, the Gemara is going to discuss a case of meis aviv before the tvicha mechira. And there the halacha is very different. The Mishnah now continues and says the following, Gonav v'tovach v'achakach higdish. If he stole the animal, he shechted the animal, and then alternatively he was magdish the animal. And Rabbi Kivega points out in Mishnayis that he was magdish it to Berek Habayis, not to Kedushas Mizbeach. It's impossible to slaughter an animal and then be magdishit le mizbeach, it's a behema mesa. And therefore, when it says v'achkach higdish, subsequent to the death of the animal, the stolen animal, the ganav, was magdish the animal, it must be talking about kedushas berek habayis. And the act of hegdish to berek habayis, which is a transfer of ownership to the gizbar representing hegdish, that itself is like a mechira, has the same status as mechira. And the Gemara is going to say later on the famous statement, Mali Mechara Lehejet, Mali Mechara Leshamayim. And therefore, in this case, Mishalem Tashlume Arba V'chamisha. This act of Hegdesh, which is a substitute equal to that of Mechira, engenders a Chiyuv Dalet V'heh. The Rush here in Perek Meruba, and if you want to look it up, it's in Siman Vav, writes that in these last two dinim that we studied, number one, the son who stole from his father, and number two, the ganav who slaughtered the animal and then was makdishit, says the Rosh, there's no chidush. The Tana only mentioned them, agav, a Mishnah later on. There the Tana has a chidush that if the father dies or he was makdishit and then he was tovech mocher, he's potter. So the Mishnah here is just giving you the flip side, where he's chayav because he did this tficha or mechira before the death of his father, or he's magdishit. The Mishnah continues, Gana v'tavach l'refua o l'klavim. Now the Mishnah wants to present a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon as far as what shechita, what constitutes a shechita al pidin that engenders the chiv dal v'heh. And first, we have a din that is universally accepted. This is not subject of to a controversy, in which the tficha was done not for the sake of achila. The ganav has no interest in eating the meat. Usually, shchita is l'shem heter achila sabasa, to remove the isin avela and permit the eating of the meat. Here, even had the animal died without tficha, the Toveach, in this case the Gazlan, would have gained exactly what he had to gain. He needs the, not the animal for eating purposes, but for some medicinal purposes that he can take from the body of the animal. Or Leklov, when he wants to feed his dogs, what difference it make whether it's Basa Shchuto, Basa Nevela, he can feed it to his dog. So the Mishnah says, in such a case, he's chayev. Why? Because the Shechita inherently contains within it the matir of Achilas Basar. The intention of the Gazlan to eat or not to eat is irrelevant. But now the Mishnah treads on some thin threads, if you will. And these are the next two cases. In the next two cases, you have a Shechita, what's called the Shechita She'ena Re'uya. It means that the Shechita does not have the possibility of generating a heter achilas habasar. Unlike the case where he ate it, where he shechted it l'shem, refu l'shem, klov, and there, the Shechita was a perfectly good Shechita mimat to the basar. Whether he uses the basar for achil or not, says the Mishnah, is irrelevant. Now, what are the two cases where the Shechita itself is not mat to the basar? Number one, shochet v'nimtzeis trefa. He shechted the animal, and lo and behold, after doing an inner check in the vital organs, he finds that the animal is a trefa. It's also bachila, and therefore the shechita is not going to help him one iota to be mata bachila. Case number two, hagonev v'shochet, or v'hagonev v'shochet chulin ba'azara. In such a case of chulin ba'azara, we'll see that the animal becomes asura l'achila, like the case of trefa. Because you can shecht an animal that's a behemoth chulin anywhere in the world except for the azara. And we don't shecht in the azara, not a behemoth, not a chayah, not an oaf, any of the above that a chulin. You can only shecht in the azara a kodshei mizbeach. Here, it was chulin that was shecht in the azara, and it's also bachila, it's also bahanoah. We just have to simply bury it, and the Ram dedicates a large chunk of the second parak of Hilchas Shechita to this subject. In any event, here's a case of a ganav who went ahead and shechted the animal in such a way that the shechita was not moil, it was not meaningful to be mat to the achilas basa. Say the chachamim, fundesveg, and even so, misham teshlim yarb v'chamisha. The maisa shechita alone, even without the chalos het to basar, generates the chiyuv dal vehe. However, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, potu b'shnei elu. In the case of a shochet, he shecht the animal, the Gazan shecht found out to be a trefa, if he shechted chulin azara. According to Reb Shimon, if the shechita doesn't have the capacity to be mat to the achilas behema, that's not called shechita. And therefore, when we find the animal to be a trefa, if he shechted chulin azara, the behema is asur b'achila, that's not called a shechita. And therefore, he's not chayev dalet vehe. This has nothing to do, again, with the case here of shochet l'refu l'klavim. There, Reb Shimon would certainly confess that he's chayv dal vehe because the intention of the shochet, in this case not for achil, is irrelevant because the shechita itself is mat to the achil's basar, and that itself is a shechita that engenders a chiyuv dal vehe. The Achronim here have an analysis of our Mishnah in terms of how the Mishnah is divvied up into different parts. And the Mishnah deliberately avoided integrating all the different parts of the Mishnah under one heading and saying, Chayev B'dalet Vehe. And the reason for that is, in each part of the Mishnah, each segment is coming to present a new breakthrough, a new Chiddush. In the Reisha of the Mishnah, the Chiddush is to exclude Rabbi Akiva. That's going to be the discussion that we're about to embark upon now. The second part of the Mishnah, the Mishnah wants to establish many different times or scenarios in which you're chayev dal vehe, and other times, other scenarios in which you're not chayev dal vehe. And that's, again, as we said earlier, an extension of what we're going to have on Daf Ayin Dalid Amid Beis, in the case where he's tovech b'Shabbos, or he's tovech l'shem avodah zara, or if his father died before he did the tficha, if he was magdish it before. Before he did the Tficha Mechira. And finally, the last part of the Mishnah is trying to address another Chiddush, the Machlokas, with regard to what constitutes a Shechita Kshera that is valid and engenders a Chiyuv Dalet Vehe. What we're going to focus our attention on now is the first part of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, O al pi shnayim achirim, there was a second pair of edim that testified on the shechita or on the mechira. And in such a case, the Mishnah establishes that the gazlan pays dalet vehe. Lema masnisin delo k'Rabbi Akiva. Shall we assume that this Mishnah undermines and contravenes the shita of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that there's something called davar velo chatzi davar. And that's what the Gemara quotes now. De'i Rabbi Akiva ha'amar davar velo chatzi davar. This is one of the most fundamental principles in Eidus, specifically in the Kashrus and Pasus of Eidus. The Torah says, in Dvarim Yutes Alpi Shnayim Eidim Yokum Davar, the Eidim have the capacity to establish through their testimony in Bezen a Davar, and Davar means something complete. The Eidus itself stands on its own feet as an independent entity. It has accomplished a goal. That goal is what we would call a chalos, you know, the Eidim testify on a transfer of ownership, they testify on a marriage relationship, they testify on a chazakah that allows a person who's a machzik to support his claim for ownership. If, says Rabbi Akiva, it's a davar, meaning a davar sholem, then the Eidus is kosher. Now, let's analyze the second pair of Eidim mentioned in the Reisha of our Mishnah, the second pair of Eidim that testify on the Tvicha. They know nothing, they have no independent knowledge, nothing to say or whisper in Bezdin's ears about the Gnev itself. As far as they're concerned, their Eidus is incomplete. How could their Eidus be valid to engender a Chiv Dal Vehe when their Eidus is completely possible and disqualified insofar as it's a Chatzi Dover? Chatzi Dover means whenever you offer testimony, and that testimony doesn't stand on its own 2 feet independent of another testimony, the two factors or descriptions are interdependent. Says Rabbi Akiva, in such a case, the single unit, indivisible unit of Eidim have to testify on both factors. You cannot split it and have one pair of Eidim testifying on factor A and the other on factor B, because each factor is a chatzi davar, it's a psul in Eidus. And if you take a look in Tosfos at the beginning of Baba Basra, he points out that the limud here, the derivation here, might not be from the word davar, but rather from the word yakum. Yakum means it was established. The Eidus establishes X, whatever that might be. But if the Eidus can only establish half of X, that's not valid. And therefore the Gemara asks the following question: would it be that our Mishnah could be machshir, could rely and validate the second pair of Eidim who testify in the Tvicha, even though that's a chatzi dover? They themselves did not know enough, they cannot testify to the effect of the Gneva, and therefore their testimony is totally incomplete. And now the Gemara is going to go ahead and quote the opinion of Rabbi Akiva in its original source. Disanya, Omer Rabbi Yossi made the following statement: Kishaholach Abba Chalafta. Now this is very interesting. The Gemara says that, we'll get it on Amud Beis, that Chalafta is the name of the father of Rabbi Yossi. That's why he called him Abba Chalafta. So the question is, how can Rabbi Yossi be permitted to mention his father by name? And that contravenes a very basic halach in Kibud Av Va'Em. And the Ramah here uses this Gemara, which is tucked away and hidden, as a breakthrough to say that the Issur of Kriya Shem Aviv or Shem Rabbo doesn't apply if you add Rebbe Ploni. If you add something of an introduction, you give him a name. And the Gaon writes, and this is in Shulchan Aruch Yoredei Siman Reish Mem, that in the case of his father, he's allowed to mention the name of his father together with the Torah Abba. Again, I don't know of anyone who does this, halacha lemaisa, so I'm not telling you to rely on this Gaon. But Rabbi Yossi was allowed to call his father Abba Chalafta because he added the word Abba. In any event, Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Lilmo Torah V'Amri Le, others say Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Eitzel Abba Chalafta, and here we turn to Daf Ayin Amid Beis, Omar Lo. It means that Abba Chalafta said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if a person claims a field as his own, even though he has no documentation to support that claim, but rather he claims he purchased it from the owner. He lost his shtar, but he's been living on the field. He's been planting and plowing, harvesting and marketing the field, the fruits of the field, the grains of the field. He's been living there year after year for three consecutive years as if he were the bialim. That establishes a Cheskas Gimel Shonim. The third parak of Vavasu is dedicated to this discussion. But the question is now, how does the Machzik establish in Beis Din, by what method of evidence, that he was there for 3 years? And here's what Abba Chalafta was talking about. The first year of the 3 years, there were two Eidim, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon. Shnia, the second year, Bifnei Shnayim, in front of Levi and Yisachar. Shlishis, Bifnei Shnayim, in front of Zvulun and Yisachar. I mean, the another pair of it, the three pairs of Eidim. Mahu, can we have an integration of three different kitos, three different pairs of Eidim, in which each pair testifies on one particular year? And we can do the calculation. We don't have to have a greater mathematical mind to know that if there's year number one, established by two Eidim, then there's year number two, and year number three, we have a sakhakol, some total of 3 years, that should create a chazaka. So the question is, can we integrate these three adios into one total entity that testifies about the chazaka? Omar lo. And in this case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri responded to Abba Chalafta, and he said, Harei zo chazaka. The adios is valid. Beis Din has the ability to establish facts and then to integrate those facts that came through different adios, different kitos, and by integration, create one whole of chazaka 3 years. Omar lo. Now, admittedly, Abba Chalafta says, Afani, Omer, and I would agree with you, logically, we can be mitzarif the three different adios to make it into one adios of chazaka. Ella, but my problem is, she, Rabbi Akiva cholek b'dover. And how do I know that Rabbi Akiva rejects this? And you would not be able to establish chazaka based on various testimonies on parts and segments of the 3 years. You cannot integrate the three. Ishaya Rabbi Akiva omer, dover v'lo chatzi dover. You want to establish chazaka, says Rabbi Akiva, you need eidus on 3 years of chazaka. Each kat is being made on 1 year and 1 year only. Each kat is being made on a half of a chazok. I should say precisely a third of a chazok. But whatever it is, it's not a dover shalem. You can only make it into dover shalem by integrating the three adios into one to create a chazok. And therefore each adus, each kat in and of itself is a chatzi dover, and that invalidates the adus. Therefore we come back to our Mishnah. And our Mishnah tells us, as a surprise, that the Eide Tvicha Umechira, even though they cannot testify with regard to the Gnev itself, nevertheless they can establish a Chiyuv of Dalet Vehei. But wait a second. Let's analyze this, says the Gemara. The Eidus of the Tvicha Mechira is a Chatzi Eidus. It's not a Dover Sholem. It's Dover V'lo Chatzi Dover. In a sense, it's exactly parallel to the case of Edom testifying on 1 year. Although it's true, we have three Kita Edom that we could integrate, but to form the Chazaka 3 years, but Rabbi Kiva rejects it. We look at each Kat independently and ask ourselves, is that Kat giving us a valid conclusion, drawing some sort of a picture of a Chalos? In the case of Chazaka, we need 3 years. Rabbi Kiva apostles each pair of Edos on 1 year, respectively. Therefore, likewise, the Gemara assumes that in the case of Eidei Tvicha, how can we accept their Eidus as a complete Eidus when, unless you apply the principle of Tziruf to integrate it together with the Eidei Gneva, you don't have anything over here. Maybe he was Tovech, his own animal. Omar Abaye. And here's where Abaye wants to interpret our Mishnah, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Afilu Tema Rabbi Akiva, even if I tribute this Mishnah, our Mishnah, to Rabbi Akiva, who darshens dover v'lo chatzi dover,
We'll have to see later on what the Chachamim do with Dover v'lo Chatzi Dover. But nevertheless, here, Rabbi Akiva himself would admit that the Eidus Tvicha is valid, even though they weren't made on the Gnev itself. And why is that so? Oh, here's a beautiful chap of Abai. Not that he needs my congratulations. Milo Moda Rabbi Akiva Bishnayim Omrim Kidesh Ushnayim Omrim Baal. What happens if you have two sets of Eidim? One set testifies that she received Kiddushin, she's an Eish HaSish. A second set of Eidim testified about her that she had a relationship with someone other than the Baal. Admittedly, the second pair of Eidim has no personal knowledge or did not witness, shall we say, the original Kiddushin, but nevertheless, what are you going to do? You're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Akiva, we cannot utilize and validate the second pair of Eidim on the Be'ila because they independently cannot testify about a Maisa Averis since they don't have personal knowledge and they cannot testify in the Kiddushin. We cannot be Mechayev Misa, the Boel, or the Nevelis as an Eish HaSish. Elo, what the answer is the following. The Afal Gavdi Eide Bia Tzrichi Li Eide Kiddushin. Even though it's true that the second pair of Eidim did not stand on their own feet, they certainly have to stand on the shoulders of the first pair of Eidim that testify that she received Kiddushin, she's an Eish HaSish. But nevertheless, that's not a psul of Chatzi Dover. Why not? Kevon di Eide Kiddushin Lo Tzrichi Li Eide Bia. What is Chatzi Dover? Chatzi Dover is where the first pair of Eidim are saying nothing. They don't establish anything. We have to invalidate the first pair of Eidim. It's Memela, the second pair of Eidim falls apart. But in the case of Eidei Kiddushin, that's the first pair of Eidim, they don't need any other information. They don't have to testify or witness anything else. They don't know whether or not she, Chas V'Shalom, had an adulterous relationship and violated the Iser Eish HaSish. What they're coming to do is establish the Iser Eish HaSish, that she's Asura Kol HaOlam Kehegdesh. And why is that? Because they testified they saw the Maisa Kiddushin. And in such a case, since the first Eidus is valid, that becomes fact and figure in front of Beis Din. Nobody henceforth has to re-establish through his personal Yediyah testimony that testimony was already established. It's engraved in stone. Therefore, when the second pair of Eidim come in on the Be'ila, let's say in that case, then certainly that Eidus is valid even according to Rabbi Akiva. That's Dovar Karinan Bey. The first pair of Eidim had a Dover Karinan Bey because they testified on the status of this woman as an Eish HaSish. The second pair of Eidim is Dover Karinan Bey. That's also an Eidus Shleim because they were testifying on the Be'ila, which means on a Chiyuv Misa. Oh. So once again, Rabbi Osa, just to summarize, Abai's breakthrough, the only time Rabbi Akiva invalidates Eidus under the law of Chatzi Dover is only if the first pair of Eidim were testifying a Chatzi Dover. But if the first pair of Eidim needed no help because they testified on some complete Eidus, then there's no psul of Chatzi Dover even vis-a-vis the second Eidim. If the first pair of Eidim was a Chatzi Dover, the second pair of Eidim cannot be integrated together with the first pair of Eidim. Each Eidus in and of itself is meaningless. It's a Chatzi Dover. But if the first Eidus, that's where the critical point is, if the first Eidus in sequence is the fundamental Eidus, and that establishes through the Eidim that Dovar Sholem, and why is it a Dovar? Because in this case, for example, of Eidei Kiddushin, she now becomes Asura Akule Alma as a result of their Eidus, then the second Eidus stands on its own as well. It doesn't have to be integrated into one complete continuous Eidus with the first testimony. Is Hochenami, the Gemara says, Abai fears ois. You know, he comes to the conclusion, the Afal Gav, the Eidei Tficha Tzrichi Li Eidei Gneva. Although it's true, just like in the case of Eidei Be'ila, they need to rely on the fact that's already been established, the facts on the ground, that she is an Eish HaSish by virtue of the first pair of Eidim. Here too, the Eidei Tficha have to rely on the facts of the ground, namely, the testimony of the first pair of Eidim. So that's called Eidei Tficha, Tzrichi Eidei Gneva. But nevertheless, there's no psul of Chatzi Dover here. Because once the first pair of Eidim have been accepted and validated, establishing the Gneva, that's already a done deal. That's already written in the books, engraved in stone, this person stole. this person stole this animal. Now, two Edom say he took the animal and he shechted it. They, Kaviyochel, know that he was shechting a behemah gzula because the first pair of Edom was perfectly valid. And the Gemara spells this out by saying, Kevan di Edei Gneva lo tzrichi li Edei Tvicha, the first Edus of the Edei Gneva stands independent of the second Edus. There's no reason why the first pair of Edom who are testifying on the Gneva should be defined as a Chatzi Dover. No, it's a Dover, because they're testifying that he stole, and therefore he's Chayv Kefel. It's Dover Karina Bey. Therefore, we can establish Dover Karina Bey even vis-a-vis the second pair of Edom, the Edei Tvicha L'Chayvo Dalet Vehei. And why is that? Because the first pair of Edom is valid. All we have to get through in order to survive is the first pair of Edom. Once we validate that first pair of Edom, there's no longer going to be a psul of Chatzi Dover, because the second pair of Edom are simply taking the story one step further, but the story has already been established. Now, how do we validate the first pair of Edom? After all, that should be a Chatzi Dover. The answer is no. That first pair of Edom stands independent, like the case of the Edei Kiddushin here to the Edei Gneva, stand independent. But what about the case of Rabbi Akiva? The case of Rabbi Akiva, if you recall, was Edei Chazaka. We had three pairs of Edom. Each pair respectively testified on a different year of these three continuous years. Let's isolate any particular kat. We'll start with the first kat, because that's always the best way to start, is with the first kat, like in the case of Kiddushin, or in Amish, in the case of Gneva. And as far as the first kat is concerned, the testimony about one year of Achilas HaPeros, that's not a chazaka. There's no chazaka less than 3 years. So the first pair of Edom cannot be validated such that we can now build the second pair on the first, because the first pair of Edom is a chatzi dover. 1 year of chazaka is a chatzi dover. The Gemara asks, V'Rabbanan. Now wait a second. We have to raise the following question. Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Akiva. Do they deny the halacha of dover v'lo chatzi dover? Or do they fundamentally agree in principle that dover v'lo chatzi dover? They're just unwilling to apply that to the case of Shnei Chazaka. That's what the Gemara is about to embark upon. That's the investigation the Gemara is about to embark upon. So the Gemara says, Hai, dover v'lo chatzi dover l'mute mai. Let's assume, because it's almost explicit in the pasuk, that Edus is only kosher, is only acceptable if it's a dover, meaning a dover sholem. Why should we assume, says the Gemara, that Rabbanan reject the very fundamental principle and requirement of dover sholem? Oh, but l'mute mai, what's the case, according to the Chachom of Rabbi Akiva, of chatzi dover, that the Edus is psula? Not the case of Edei Chazaka on each year. That itself is a dover sholem, as we'll explain soon. Is lemute eid echad omer, echad begabov, echad omer, echad bekresa. We have one aid testifying on a hair. You know, for a katan to become a gadol, or a katan to become a gadol, you need two saros. But they don't have to be near each other. One could be on the back and one could be on the front. And in this case, so is it possible then that the Chatzi Dover here case, according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Kiva, is the case where one testifies on one hair, say on the back, and his buddy, his companion for this Edus, testifies on a different hair, let's say in the front. And the only way that we can make this woman into a gedolo, or this man into a gadol, would be if we combine and integrate the two testimonies of each, respectively, to each individual aid. And that you can't do, because each aid is giving us nothing more than a chatzi dover. The Gemara rejects this. Hai chatzi dover v'chatzi aidus hu. That case where one aid testifies on a seyar and the other on a different seyar, that's not only chatzi dover, that's chatzi edus. Now, the Torah says, al pishnayim edim yokum dover, we need two edim. And there's no two edim to testify here that she is a gdola, that he is a gadol. Each aid individual is not valid as a witness.
Again, we're always assuming that to establish godlus or personal status is a davar shebe'erva, ein davar shebe'erva pachos mishnayim. So here the psul, the invalidation, you know, the foul play here in this that invalidates the edus is in the halacha of shnayim, the requirement of two. This is chatzi edus. Ela the Gemara says, no. You know what the rabbanim derive from davar, velo chatzi, davar lem ute, shnayim omrim echad begava, v'shnayim omrim echad bekresa. Here we have two Edim and two Edim. So as far as the invalidation based on Shnei Edim, Yochum Dover, that's not an invalidation. We have two Edim. Ah, but we have here a case where each pair of Edim is basically saying that she's a Ketana. Hani Amri Ketanihi Vahani Amri Ketanihi. Because each pair of Edus is testifying on one Seir. And one Seir is that of a Ketana. So we don't have Simon and Godless. The Edus here has to be on Godless. And there's no Edus on Godless. Where, however, do the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva? In other words, why, or in what scenario, we should say, did Rabbi Akiva extend this halach of Chatzi Edus too far from the perspective of the Chachamim? That's in the case of Chazaka. Why? Because whereas Rabbi Akiva argues that each year itself is like one Seir, because it doesn't establish his Chazaka, the Chacham say that that's not true. Because Edus on a year of Chazaka is still Edus Chazaka. Again, it cannot clinch what we call a Chalos Chazaka, but it certainly is an Edus on Chazaka. In other words, let's say we take the first pair of Edim. They testify in the first year, he, the Machzik, ate peros, he ate the fruits of the field. That itself is a Maisa Chazaka. Again, it's not a Chazaka that's sufficient to be Motzi Mecheskes Marakama, but you can't deny that it's a Chazaka. To be Motzi Mecheskes Marakama, we need 3 years of Chazaka. But at least that testifying a Maisa Chazaka, that's a meaningful Edus into itself, and now we can mitzarf one kat with a second kat. Masha Enkein, in the case of Seir Achas, each particular kat is testifying on a Ketana. Hani Amri Ketanahi v'Hani Amri Ketanahi. And that's the sugi. So just to summarize, we have a deliberation back and forth whether Rabbi Akiva could validate Edei Tvicha, who did not see the Gneva. And the final conclusion of Abaye is Rabbi Akiva would agree that you could validate that Edus on Tvich because the first Edus on Gneva is in itself an independent valid Edus. And in order to establish Chatzi Dover, you have to tell me that each pair of Edim here in this sequence is invalid, is incomplete. And the example that we give, that Abaye gives, is the case of Edei Kiddushin. And Edei Kiddushin is a valid Kiddushin, and now henceforth we don't need Edus on the Kiddushin. We've already established that as engraved in stone. That's fact on the ground. And so too here, in the case of Edei Gneva, that's a perfectly complete Edus that stands on its own 2 feet independent of any other Edus. It's Machayev Kefel, and now it becomes fact on the ground, and any other relevant Edus or any other kat that comes in relevant to the first is standing on the shoulders of the first. The problem is going to be in the case of Chazaka, where any individual kat that testifies on one and only one single year of Chazaka is not able to establish a halachic change, shall we say. The goal of the Edus is Chazaka, and that's not a Chazaka. We need 3 years of Chazaka. That's Chatzi Edus. Whereas the Rabbanan agree that in the case of Seir Echad Begavav, Seir Echad Bekresa, that itself is a psul of Chatzi Dovar, because the Eid, or each Kat, is testifying on Katnus, on a Katana, not on a Gedola. But in the case of Chazaka, each year of Achilas Peros is valid in and of itself. It is a Maisa Chazaka that's recognized as such. We just have to have that Maisa Chazaka times 3 in order to establish the Bailus of the Machzik. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah established in the second part of the Mishnah that if he stole or sold on Shabbos, then he pays kefal, he pays dal vehei, he wasn't mischayev misa, and there's no din of kimili ramine. So the Gemara asks, Vatanya, we have a brisa that says about someone who stole and sold on Shabbos, potur. Amar Rami bar Chama kisanya hahi de potur. What's the case of that brisa where the brisa says he's potur from tashlumei dalet vehei? That's a case of be omer lo akotz te'ena miti'enasi v'sikne li gnevosech. A person comes to the ganav and he wants to purchase the animal that was stolen. He's what we call a fence. And when he comes to acquire ownership and implement a maisa kinyan on this stolen animal from the ganav, is omelo, he says to him, akotz te'ena miteinasi, pluck a fig from my fig tree, which is in my rishus. And if you do so, then I will grant you, or shall I say, bequeath to you, or transfer to you, the Dmei Behema. V'tikni li gnevusich. And in such a way, you will acquire ownership on the Gneva with a Kinyan Kesef. What are you using for Kesef here in order to buy the Gneva? You're using the Dmei Te'enim. And this is exactly what he happened. On Shabbos, this buyer went ahead and he was Malakeit Te'enim B'Shabbos. I'm sorry, did I accidentally say that it was the buyer who was okates the Te'enim? No, I meant to say the Ganav is the one who's taking off the Te'enim from the tree, and he receives the gun of the peros, the te'edim in this case, from the tree as payment for the gneva, for the behema that he's selling. So the achievement of the mechira here, the clincher of the mechira, was through the act of akitzas te'edim, and that is a malacha d'oraisa amongst the 39 malachas called tolesh or kotzer. And therefore, the Braisa says, in such a case, there is no chiyuv dalid vehe, because he's mischayev misa in the very moment, inherent in the very act through which he is makne to the lokeach the stolen object. Our mission, on the other hand, says that he's chayev dalid vehe. That's in a case where he sold on Shabbos, where there was no violation of Melech Shabbos. The Gemara is not happy with Rami Bar Choma. Amri, v'kevan dechi tovalei kamon bedina. If the kone, the one who's buying the behema, the stolen animal, by giving his te'enim to the ganav, if he himself, this kone, is tovea the ganav, the mocher, the ganav in Bezdin, to give him the behema that he purchased by paying with te'enim, that the ganav, the mocher, was locate. O sheyachzir lo es ha-te'enim. He wants his te'enim to be returned. Lo amrina le zil shlim. Will we not be mechayev the ganav to return to the mocher whatever monies that he was paid? Let's try to explain the point here, the logical point of this Gemara, and why this is a kasha on Rami Bar Choma. If the lokeach, again Bala Te'ena, wants out of this deal, he wants to say, you know what, take back your behema and give me back my Te'enim. Or alternatively, let's say the kona says, you know what, give me the behema that you promised to give me for the Dmei Te'ena. And the Gemara wants to know, would the Ganav have to return the Te'enim or not? Says the Gemara, and here's the Chiddush, Lo Amrinan Le Zil Shlim. We don't obligate the Ganav, who sold the Behema, to return the Te'enim to the Lokeach. Why not? De Mechayev Ben Nafshehu. Since through this act of Ktzitzas Te'enim on Shabbos, he engendered a Chiyuv Misa, capital punishment, whatever monetary repercussions there are through this action, the action of Mischayev Benafsho, he's potter. You can never do an action that generates a Chiyuv Misa and at the same time generate a Chiyuv Mamon through that very same action. That's called Kimlei B'Dramine. Is therefore, says the Gemara, HaMechira Nami Lav Mechirahi. In other words, there's a spiral here in which we undermine the very validity of the Mechir itself. In other words, when when the Gan of the Mocher was Malakit to Te'enim, he has no Chiyuv to give the Behema to the purchaser, because that would be a Chiyuv Mamon that's inherent in the act of Chiyuv Misa, of Mischayev Benafsho. The Mechira itself, therefore, is not valid. And if the Mechira is not valid, how can there be a Chiyuv Dalet Vehei? Misa clearly indicates that there's no Chiyuv Dalet Vehei here because of the fact that it was a violation of Shabbos and Kimlei D'Rabbimine. But the Mechira per se would be valid and is valid. Why is the Mechira valid? Mechira is only valid if the Mocher has to deliver the goods. And why does he have to deliver the goods? Because he took the Te'enim in payment for those goods. But if taking the payment was a violation of a Chiyuv Misa, then he has no Chiyuv to deliver the goods. And the whole Mechir is invalid. El Omer of Papa, when the Brisa says that he stole and he sold it on Shabbat, he's potter from Dalet Hey, what's the case? Be Omer Lo, where the buyer says to the Ganav on Shabbat, Zrok Gnevusich Lechatzeri Vesikni Li Gnevusich. Throw the behema into my chatzah, says the buyer, and I will acquire ownership over your stolen behema through kinyan chatzah, and I'm going to pay you mos. Now the Ganav throws the behema into the chatzah of the lokeach. The lokeach is kone, and at that moment, when the lokeach was kone, the mocher becomes chayev misa because he took the animal from one rishus into another, and that's melechas hotzah on Shabbos. He's potter from dalet vehei through kimlei b'derabim minei. And that itself is going to circumvent the problem that the Gemara just raised as an objection to Rabbi Bar Chama, because what was the problem, that the mechira is not valid? No. Here in this case, the mechira is certainly valid. In the case of Rami Bar Chama, where the payment itself for the purchase is the Ktzitzas HaTe'enim, that purchase is not valid insofar as Ktzitzas HaTe'enim B'Shabbos incurs a Chiyuv Misa. However, in the case of Rav Papa, we're not talking about the payment. The payment will come later, but we're talking about the very kinyan. The very kinyan itself is valid. In other words, Kimlei B'Rabbinei is not going to invalidate and undermine the kinyan. The mechir itself is valid. Why? Because the ganav threw, so to speak, threw the animal through midair, as we'll see later on, into the chotzer of the kone. That itself is a dasmakta with the kinyan chotzer, and that kinyan is valid. And therefore, the mechir is chal, and the mechir is, and as we've medayik in the brisa is talking about a mechira. And in such a case, the mocher through this mechira, meaning the ganav, became a mischayev benafshel for hotzah mirshus l'shus b'shabbos, and therefore he's part of the tashlumi dal vehei through the principle of kimlei d'rabbimine. But the Gemara is not exactly sure whether this is a smooth operation here, Rav Papa. Why? Because we have a din of kluta kamisha huncha dami, when things go flying through the air. It's a zorek chefetz mishsayach l'shusayachid. In the case where you throw an object from one Rishus Yach and it lands in another Rishus Yach, but in the middle, it traverses a Rishus Harabin. Rabbi Akiva applies the principle of Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadami, that once this Chefetz travels through the airspace of the Rishus Harabin, it's considered as if it's Nach, it's laying down on the floor on the ground of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore he's chayev. In fact, he should be chayev twice. Once for Hotzah, once for Achnasah. When it goes into Rosh Hashanah, it's considered Nachsham, so he took it from that Rosh Hashanah. Now it goes from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, that's called Achnasah. The Rabbanon on the other hand say you're potter, and this is all Sugi and Shabbos study Vav in Perek HaZorik. And the reason for the Rabbanon is because they're of the opinion that while it's Niklat in the Avir, while it's traveling through the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, it's not Kimurach Dami, it's just simply using the airspace. But it's not resting on the ground itself. And the Gemara now wants to analyze the answer of Rav Papa from the perspective of this Machlokas Rabbanon and Rabbi Akiva, and it would seem that Rav Papa fits beautifully into Rabbi Akiva. Keman, ki Rabbi Akiva, de'amar klutei k'misha hincha dami. And therefore, the Chiyuv Misa is engendered the very moment that the animal enters into the avir of the Rishus. At that point, already it's considered munach because of the principle of kimi shohun chadami, and at that very moment the kinyan is clinched when it's in the avir of the chatzir of the lokeach, and therefore at that moment he's parted from tashlumin. But the e kirabonon, if let's say I don't accept the principle of klutei kimi shohun chadami, is kevan de matya lechatzir beso, is kana. Wait a minute, the very moment that the gneva enters into the avir of the chatzer base of the lokech is kone. And le'inyan Shabbos lo machayv ademat liyara, but since we reject the principle of kluta, the chiyuv Shabbos will only apply when it hits the ground of Rishus HaYochid. And if that be the case, the chiyuv Shabbos is engendered later than the kinyan itself. When do we say kim levi rabine? That's only if at the moment, and therefore he's parted from tashlumi dalve. That's the moment of the kinyan is simultaneous. It's synchronized with the moment of Chiv Shabbos. But if I could split them into two moments, T1 and T2, for example, here, the moment, at what point is the lokeach kona the gneva? At the point that the animal hits the avir of the chatzir, because avir chatzir is kona lo. But the Chiv for Melechah Shabbos depends upon hanocha, because there's no zrika, hotzah, or any of the like without hanocha. It means akira, havaras rishus, and hanocha. Here there's no anocha because the Rabbana rejected klutei kimi shohun cha, and the Gemara rejects this, and the Gemara says that Rav Papa could work out even according to the Rabbanon be'omer in a case where the lokeach said to the ganav, lo tikni li gnevusich ad shetanuach, I don't want my chatzer to be kone mitzad avir hachatzer, but rather I want to be kone at the moment that it hits the ground, the karka, the chotzer. And if such a case, then both of Chiyuv Shabbos and the Kinyan and Mechira Achal simultaneously, and then we can apply the principle of Kim Le Bidarab Minei. Rava Omar, Rava wants to offer another possible alternative to defend Rami Bar Chomoli Olam. Ki Rami Bar Chama, the Brisa should be interpreted like Rami Bar Chama. And the reason why the Mocher is Potter Fidalive on Shabbos is because the Lokeach said, Lakot Te'ena, Mi Te'enasi, Vitikna Li Habehema. And the Gemara asks, but the Mechira is not valid because Bezdin is not going to be Mechayev the Ganav to deliver the animal since he was Chayev Misa for this Kinyan, or he doesn't have to deliver and return the Te'ena. Says Rava, Hare Tle Hanita Leisha Biesnan Osra Torah Vafilu Bal Imo. We have a principle of Esnan Osra Torah, which means payment. If an animal was payment for a Maisa's Nus, the animal becomes Posulim Mizbeach. That's called Esnan Zona. Afilu Bal Imo, even if this Averas Nus was a Maisa of a capital crime that engenders a Chiv Misa. For example, Baal Imo. So if he gives her, his mother, the Tle as an Esnan, as payment for the Znus, then of course the Tle becomes Asur. And that's called Esnan Zona. V'itava Le Kamon Bedina. Now, let's say she would demand payment, and I want this tleh. You agreed to pay me the tleh for this nus. Is mi amrina le kum havi le esnan? Even though she's being toveh him bedin, cough up the esnan, I mean, you made such a condition, nevertheless, we would not be machayev him to do so and cough up the tleh and transfer it to his mother. Why? Because what clinched the kinyan? It was the beer that he had with his mother, which is a chiv misa. And therefore he's potter from any chiv mamon that would emanate from that misa ver that's meschai benafsha. And nevertheless, when he does go ahead and give her the esnan, which he didn't have to do, is a rezen nesa, it becomes also. So what do we see from this? What is Rava trying to derive in this analogy from Esnan zona ella afal gav dechika tovele bedina lo aminele zeal havle came the chiyovle havi esnan is hochanami afal gav delinian tashlumini tove bedina come on lo aminele zeal shleim. But nevertheless, and here we turn to daf ayin aleph amid aleph afilu hachi came on the komakni lebe hachi havia mechira. Now, there's certain situations in which the lokeach cannot force the mocher and compel him to deliver the goods because of the principle of kimle b'derame, but it doesn't mean that the kinyan itself is invalid. The kinyan itself is invalid, is valid, and we're going to prove that, says Rava, from the case of Esnan Zona, despite the fact that the lokeach cannot force the hands of the mocher to deliver the goods. And kimle b'derame name is chayav misa is enough to create a situation of a kinyan moment that's not collectible, that you can't force someone to pay up. And that's the case of Esnan Baal Imo. If she would demand, give me the Esnan, after all you made such an agreement, and that was those were the conditions, that you would pay me the Esnan as compensation for the Maisa's Nus, she couldn't force his hand in Bezdin, because what generated her kinyan was the Chiyuv Misa of this very Maisa's Nus. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean the kinyan is completely invalid. She cannot collect and force his hand in Bezdin to pay him up. Lo amrina le zeal havle. But let's say, nevertheless, he decided to deliver her the goods. And he brought the tleh over to his mother and he gave it to her. Is ki yoevle, when he does so, havi esnan. Now, the kinyan itself is, let's say, inherent, or it's in the shadows, it looks in the distance. And the chalos kinyan is now, in a sense, suspended in midair. Will it be chal? Will it be clinch? Will it not? And afkamina is whether it's possible or mizbeach b'tor esnan. And the answer is, it all depends on what the boel does with this animal. Does he actually hand it over to the zona? And if he does so, it becomes nesar b'toras esnan. And it seems because there is a chal shem achira. I mean, some of the Rishonim speak about a chiyuv bedin shamayim, that even when we say that there's a hischayev misa, and therefore the chiyuv moment is not forcible and collectible, there's a chiyuv bedin shamayim to pay. Others say because im tofsa ein motzim b'yom. But all these answers are really coming to say that the chalos kinyan is inherent. It is lurking in the shadows. Says Rava, let's apply the same principle and understanding in Rami Bar Chama. If, let's say, in the case of Kotz, Teinami Teinasi, the Lokeach would want to force the hands of the Mocher to deliver the goods, whether it's the animal or to return his Teinim, then the Lokeach has no recourse to do so. Because again, what kind of chiyuvim can be engendered by a chiyuv misa in this case of hotzah mirshus l'shus? But nevertheless, if the ganav decides to deliver the cheftah gozel, the cheftah ganav to the lokeach, havi mechira. In other words, the ganav can be makna this object to the lokeach, but it's not a new hakna, it's rather the delivering of a mechira. And it's considered as a mechira to be mischayev alef and tashlumi dalet vehei. He's only patur from dalet vehei because of kimle v'rabinei. So your kasha, your objection against Rami Bar Chama, namely the mechira is not a mechira, that's not really true. Haraya, if he delivered the goods, again admittedly on his own initiative, he cannot be compelled to do so, then it's a valid mechira. So the mechira potentially, if it's actualized by deliverance of it, is a mechira. And that's why the Braisa uses the language of mechira. Okay, Rabbi Bosa, we'll stop here.